Bible, or you, does it matter? All right, amen. We'll read it. I'll let you stay seated because we stayed up half the time. Amen. All right, I thank you. All right. All right, verse number 15, if you're there, holler amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, now I want you to notice this phrase here, this is a desert place. The disciples, they're talking to the Lord, all right, and they came to him saying, now you got to understand this portion here, they've been ministering, they have been walking with the Lord, they're tired. Jesus is leading them to a place of rest in that desert so they can get away from ministry. But let me say this, there is never a time that we can get away from true ministry. Because how many of you know we're Christians 24/7? All the time. Now here's the thing, Jesus now is leading them to a desert place. How many of you have found yourself sometimes being led to somewhere you don't want to go? I have found that out to be so in ministry, but he leads them into a desert place. Now they're telling Jesus this is a desert place. How many of you know Jesus already knew?
Yeah.
All right, it ain't like it's caught him by surprise.
Right.
But Jesus leads them to this place, but it's a place that necessarily, that really is an uncomfortable place. It's an uncommon place. And a lot of times we find that it's an uncertain place. You don't know what's going to happen in this desert experience. I went to Arizona one time, the only time, and I pray to God that he never lets me go back. All right. Arizona, we flew into there and I took a bunch of teenagers. I was a youth pastor at a church one time. We flew into Arizona and I was a nervous wreck already having all them teenagers leaving. It almost felt like the country. And we got to Arizona. We stepped off out of the airport. And you know what I found out about Arizona? It's hot. Bad. It's hot, man. And I thought, dear Jesus, what have... Because I knew these kids weren't going to make it. I mean, they were just complaining, crying. I mean, yeah, nobody's teenagers does that, do they? Anyway, just complaining. And man, I did. I got to complain. I thought, dear God, I don't want to live in something like this. I mean, we drove down the roads. This is crazy. We drove... how many of you has ever been to Arizona? Anybody? All right. Have you noticed you can drive down the road? You don't even have to turn the steering wheel. Straight roads right through the desert. I mean, you ain't got no curves, no hills, no mountains, just straight. And we'd be driving straight, and I'd look over, and they'd be cows out in the middle of just the desert with cactus all up in their face. And I'm thinking, what? And you know what I'm saying? This ain't a pleasant place to be. It looked lifeless.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
It looked like it's not a great place to hang out. But let me say this, anytime the living water is in your desert place, it's going to be all right. Somebody ought to help me right there. See, anywhere that Jesus leads you to, he'll always, thank God, lead you through. He's got a plan and a purpose behind where he's taking you and I. And oftentimes we'll find ourselves in desert places. Can I get a witness right there? The Bible said, and the time is now past, in verse number 15, he said, the disciples said, send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, here it is, they need not depart, give you them to eat. How many of you know these disciples are ready to get rid of this crowd? They're tired, they're discouraged, they're wanting to rest, but Jesus now, right in the middle of it says, no, we still got work to do.
That's right.
Can I tell you this morning? There's still work to do in the gospel ministry.
Amen.
There's still a purpose for you and I, as a preacher was talking about in Sunday school this morning. Man, that stirred me up. He was talking about how that we ought to identify ourselves as children of God. We ought to identify, people ought not guess who we belong to. And even in the middle of this, he said, they need not depart.
Yeah.
Because it was not about the disciples. It was about that crowd that needed Jesus.
That's right.
And I sure am glad. Hey, as long as Jesus has not come back yet, there's still the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I'm glad to be a part, thank God, of the laboring field when it comes to reaching people with the gospel. Now Jesus says, all right, I'm going somewhere. Just hang, I'm getting excited getting there.
Come on, amen.
I like preaching here, amen.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never preached in a mega church. Somebody say amen. You can fit about five of ours in here. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. But look, he said in verse 16, he said, give you them to eat. 17. Now look now, they've already complaining. Would you not agree? Yeah. It's a desert place. We don't want to be here. Send them away. We don't want to fool with them. Now Jesus says, all right, don't depart. Give you them to eat. And all of a sudden they look around and they said, here, we don't have but five loaves and two fishes. We ain't got enough. You ever been there? Been in a desert place and you feel like God's just not giving you what you need to do what he's asking you to do? But how many of you glad the story's not finished yet? Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Guess what? Your story ain't finished yet either.
That's right.
Because he ain't finished with you. Amen. The Bible says here, he said, bring them hither to me. He had commanded the multitude to sit down. And I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I noticed this a while back. Man, it got me stirring. How many of you know there ain't nothing green hardly in a desert? But notice when he says, get the multitude, he said, sit them down on the grass. That's that life in the desert, amen. He said, sit them down on the grass and took the five loaves and two fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Verse number 20, and they did, y'all say that with me, all eat. Jesus don't want anybody left out. And were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And with Jesus, there's always going to be remaining. Right. Took up the 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. God help us, Lord. Stir us. Thank you, Lord, for already moving. God, I want to thank you if I've already sensed your presence. And Lord, I did not come expecting to preach, but I did come expecting you. And I sure am glad you have been faithful to show up. I pray, God, you'll help me and touch my lips, touch my mind, touch my heart. And God, help me, Lord, to get out of the way so that Jesus can be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach on this thought for just a little while because I got a 5-hour trip back home with a bunch of teenagers. Amen. But I want to preach on this thought, if I can, lessons in our desert places. And let me say this, anytime that God takes you to a desert place or a place of that you're not comfortable with, or he leads you into a difficult situation in your Christian life, know this, he's not putting you there or placing you there to make your life miserable. He's not putting you there or putting myself there to make my life unpleasant. He is placing me there by the sovereignty of his will, so that you and I can learn some lessons in those desert places. And I sure am glad. Listen, there has been times in my Christian life, I have to admit, I got saved when I was 21. I was running from God, but thank God he ran into me. Amen. And I'm glad that he came and he changed my life. And I didn't know a whole lot about the scriptures. I know more than I do now. I didn't know a whole lot about walking with the Lord. It took me several years to get to that place. But I sure am glad I got there. But there's one thing I have found out in my Christian life, whether you're a preacher or not, there's going to be times that you arrive into difficulties and unpleasant situations knowing that you're following the Lord at his will. Everybody wants it easy. How many of you like the strawberry and whipped cream religion? I mean, I ain't crazy about strawberries, but praise God, I like it easy. Amen. But I have found out that it's not easy all the time. And in this certain circumstance, it was not easy for those disciples to follow Jesus at his word. But anytime you and I, not following the church basically, or a Baptist doctrine, so to say, but following Jesus at his word, he will never lead you wrong. He'll lead you to a place, but then he'll teach you some lessons in that place. And you and I must, all we got, how many of you don't have patience? All right? But you and I have to be patient. We must wait on the Lord. And when we wait on the Lord, we'll find out that after we wait long enough just to do his will and follow his word, how many of you have found him faithful to prove to you that he wasn't going to leave you high and dry? He wasn't going to leave you to a place that you did not learn some lessons. So here I'm going to give you three lessons that these disciples learned even as we can learn this morning, that I hope that will help us and encourage us when we reach our places and times of desert places. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Number one, I want you to notice, first of all, this was a lesson when it came to their duty. In verses number 15 and 16, we've already made mention. The disciples said this is a desert place. And the first reaction that they had was to send away the crowd that Jesus had compassion for. Yeah. Now, I don't know if Brother Robbie can say amen to this, but I hope he can. As long as there's people, there's always problems. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And how many of you have found out that every person you try to minister to don't want it? Every person you're trying to be good to you is not going to be good back. And I believe with all my heart they had already experienced some of that. And they said, not today, Jesus. Nuh-uh. I don't feel like it today. Maybe tomorrow, but right now it's a desert place. Take this, here we go, this wanting crowd that needs something. Yeah. Send them to town and let them go through McDonald's drive-thru. Amen. They can get what they need. Big Mac, hallelujah. Yeah. Fries and a large. Sweet tea. Somebody say glory. And Jesus said, no. No. Not yet. Because here's the reason why. Jesus had a duty for their life. And a responsibility for them to minister. Right. Even when it was hard for them. Yeah. May I say to you, I look around and I'm thankful, man. Can I walk down here? That'd be all right? If I fall and break my neck, y'all shout at my funeral. Amen. Amen. A lot of times, you know, I've found a lot of people, if they had given up in the desert place of their life and did not fulfill the responsibility and duty that God had called them to in following God's will, you and I wouldn't be here. God, I need some help right there. How many of you this morning have gotten saved since you've been coming here at Calvary? Wow, somebody say glory. Wow. That'll help a preacher. But let me ask you something. What if your preacher said, it's desert time? I can't do this no more. I'm sure you've thought about it. I have. Guess what? If he'd have quit, you'd have went to hell. If that old preacher that was preaching when I was growing up in church, I'm sure he had battle after battle, desert after desert after desert. But he got up on Sunday morning, he got up on Sunday night, he got up on Wednesday night, and he said, I'm not going to be focused on the clock, but I'm going to be focused on the cross, because Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. Let me ask you a question. What if you don't fulfill your duty? This stuff just don't happen. And here's the danger, we get used to it. But somebody kept going because they understood their responsibility and duty even when they didn't want to. And how many of you glad you're here this morning as a testimony of God's grace because the man of God stood faithful? Thank God in the times of desert. Stay faithful. Why? It matters. 5,000 men plus women and children. That's a buttload of... Can I say buttload? I do it my place. Can I say that? I'm sorry. You said butt twice today, so I should be all right. Hallelujah. If a preacher can do it, bless the Lord, I can. Somebody say amen. That's my excuse, Jesus. Amen. A lot of people. Listen to me. There's still a lot of people to minister to. Yes, sir, there is. I don't care how wicked it gets. I don't care what you see on the news. Come on. I don't care. And how many of you know Jesus is in control, not... Just follow Jesus wherever he leads. Oh, yes, sir. And you'll learn that it's important.
Right.
Well, y'all ready for another? Can you get another one? Can you handle it? Number one, we see that in their desert, they learned it was a lesson of their duty. Not only was it a lesson of their duty, but it was a lesson when it came to their dependence. Look at verse number 17. The Bible said, "And they said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know what they said? We ain't got enough. You ever said that? I mean, you're serving the Lord. One thing I found out is serving the Lord, sometimes you're going to be broke. I walked away. My wife walked away. My wife could be retired from the state by now. Oh, my hell. I could have a holly by now. Y'all like that, dude? Working on it, amen. And oftentimes we'll complain. We'll look, listen now. In a desert, a lot of times we're focusing on the desert, not Christ. A lot of times we see the insignificant part that we have. But yet, they knew. Oh, hallelujah to God. Listen, the disciples knew they could not feed the crowd. But guess what? They'd forgotten that He could. How often do we forget that Jesus can? How often do we forget that He's enough? How often do we forget that even when we're in the desert place and it's uncomfortable, thank God we got a God that can come through anytime, any place. Hallelujah to God. I said it was a lesson not only of their duty, but it was a lesson in their dependence. And I want to say to you, oh God, I want to say to you this morning that if you'll hang out long enough with Jesus, hallelujah, in the desert time of your life, and not quit and walk away, you'll find out that He can supply your every need. I said, all we got, 5 loaves and a few fish. You ever looking at your life and saying, that's all I got? But notice what happened in the next verse. He said, bring it to me. He didn't ask them to try to genetically multiply it somehow. He didn't say, hey, by the way, call the federal government, they'll help you out. Can I share this? We had moved to Greenwood, South Carolina when we were helping Brother Robbie. We packed up and we left and we knew it was God's will. And when we moved, my wife, like I said, she had a good paying job. I had a good paying job. And we walked away knowing that God wanted us to leave and go help Brother Robbie. Greatest time of my life, because I'd never learned some lessons of how Jesus can provide if I've never stepped out by faith. And we left, and the church that we were involved with took up a pounding. Y'all know what that is. They all got together and said, we're going to bring, you know, take up some food and beanie weenies and vienna sausages. Somebody say glory right there. Hallelujah. That's honey buns. Somebody say, y'all like the chocolate with the cream in them. Somebody say, that was manna from heaven. All right. Taking all this stuff, and they got it together. And we took that stuff, and thank God we did. They'd been times, there was a time I was going to Bible college. Me and Teresa had already prayed, and I said, look, I said, if any way possible, I want you to stay home, be the Holy Spirit of the home. She wanted to. She desired it. Was putting Caitlin in Christian school financially. It didn't look like we could do it. And I said, what we're going to do is we're going to slow down long enough to try to trust the Lord. And if He proves that He wants you to work, we'll go work, we'll do whatever. And boy, she's been home ever since. Amen. What I'm saying is, we hadn't always, listen, that doesn't mean that times didn't get tight. Y'all know what tight means? Yeah, tight. There was one day that I pulled up in the driveway and I was getting ready. I was getting off of work. I was going to have to get ready to go to Bible college. And I walked in, and Teresa, I could tell that her, just by her facial expression, it wasn't good. She looked at me and she said, Scott, she said, we've got this bill due. How are we going to pay this? You know what I had to say? I don't know. Let me just encourage you. Sometimes it's all right. Husbands look at your wife and say, I don't know. I ain't got this answer. But I said, you know and I know we're in God's will. You say, what do you do? What did you do? Now, I'm not super spiritual. I'm not the best Christian by no means. But I'll never forget that day we sat down and we sat down at the kitchen table before I left. And we cried and we wept and we said, God, you brought us here. We don't have what we used to have. But God, we're going to trust you. And God, we're just going to sit long enough. And we know we're in your will. And where God guides, he provides. And I left my wife that night broken. She's still weeping and crying. I got in my car and I drove to North Augusta. And man, the whole time I was tore up. God, what do you want me to work another job? Do you want me to do this? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you want me to? All right. Hang on, story ain't done yet. About 2 days later, my wife called me at work. I answered the phone and she said, Scott, you ain't gonna believe this. I said, what do you mean? She said, you ain't gonna believe this. She said, I went to the mailbox today and said, I got a check out of the mailbox for more than enough to pay that bill. That ain't the kicker. Listen to this. It was from the state. You know that had to be God, because state ain't gonna give you no extra money. We'd already been gone. And she told me, she said, they sent me a letter saying that they owed me this money from where I worked at the state. Let me tell you something. That wasn't the state providing. That was God Almighty. Thank God sending us something that we needed. Let me ask you something. If you've seen him come through time and time again, even when it's uncomfortable in your life, why don't you keep trusting him? It's a lesson. Listen, I wouldn't have known that if God hadn't have put me in that place. But how many of you glad? Thank God when you turn it over to Jesus, he has the power to multiply. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a praise right there. Amen. Not only was it a lesson now of their duty and a lesson of their dependence, but this one and I'm done. It was a lesson when it came to their distribution. The Bible said in verse 19 and 20, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it and broke it and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And then we read a while ago to where the Bible said, and they did all eat. Now here's my thing. I was thinking about this as God was showing me this, and here's what I thought about was when the Bible says that Jesus took the little they had. He blessed it, he broke it, he multiplied it. But here's the kicker. How many of you know if he can multiply just a handful to feed 25,000 people, he can hand it out himself. Oh, I need a good amen right there. He can do it himself. And that kind of stuck with me and I'm thinking, wait a minute. These old boys that from the get-go been complaining. Is anybody going with me? Yeah. The get-go ain't made the right decisions. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you another chance, fellas, because it's that important. I'm going to let you be a part of what I'm going to do, even though you don't deserve to do it. Somebody ought to help me right there. I'm glad to know, thank God. Hey, if you'll hang out long enough in your desert time and place, you'll learn that, thank God, Jesus will take and use you again and again and again, even when you don't get it all right and have it all together. There'd been times, I have to be honest with you, Brother Robbie done told you, it'll be 7 years come this September that God stirred me to plant the church in Clarksville, Georgia. Around Habersham County, there's over 40,000 people there. God stirred it and God told me to. And I went through the whole thing. I went through a lot of people. Oh, there's another church. Let me just say this. Every place that people are showing up to that's got a steeple ain't a church. I don't know about y'all, but how many of you glad you come to a Holy Ghost church? That's the difference. Somebody say amen. And man, I traveled around and seen what was out there, and God just stirred me, man. And I said, God, I have no idea how you're going to do this. I said, I ain't much. I ain't the best preacher. I ain't this. I ain't that. But I said, God, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll show up on Sunday morning. We started in a little old community center. I said, I'll pay it out of my own pocket, Lord. And I said, if it starts out well, fine. If it don't, I'll go help somebody. I knew I could call somebody up and say, hey, you got a place? And I thought, if it don't pay, boy, you ever get there if it don't pan out?
That's right.
But how many of you glad God will just blow your mind?
Amen.
When you think it don't plan out? And we started there, and the first day we had a friend day. Y'all know about a friend day? We had like 35 people show up. I say, amen, goes right. 35 people, glory to God. We had probably a third of them come back the next week. So here we are starting off with about 12 people the whole time. Satan saying, boy, look at you, burning the woods up. We finally got out from the community center, stayed there a couple of months. We moved into a little old storefront, and God worked all that out. And I mean, it was a storefront with one bathroom. And when you open that door, the auditorium was there. So you know that was bad. Somebody say amen. Especially after somebody done eat some beans. Amen. Oh, God help us. So that was a struggle within itself. But we, you know what it did? We showed up and we had Holy Ghost Church. I got up and I'd preach. And on Wednesday night, there'd be six people. And usually, not even my guys, they'd have to work or something. It was just, you know, and I'd be preaching to six women. And y'all know, can I get a, y'all, if I say this, some of y'all fellas going to get in trouble. But sometimes women hard to deal with. Can I get a witness? Oh, amen. But I never forget, man, I'd walk away on Wednesday nights. Devil jump on my shoulder. Yeah, you success. All these guys you went to Bible college with, they're over there burning the woods up, winning people to God, their churches are growing. What you got? And let me say this, I sure am glad I didn't believe the devil's lies. But desert place. And learning that even though I made many mistakes and probably will make many more, because I ain't done it all right, I can show you a product of what Jesus not will do, but has done.
Yes, sir.
Because I just decided I'm going to stay faithful.
Amen.
In the desert.
Amen.
I can't help, I'm going to brag on my crowd. I think Refuge is the greatest church on planet Earth. Amen. I know you probably don't agree with that. But anyway, y'all guys stand up. This is more than what we used to have on Wednesday night. Somebody say amen. Come here, Andrew. This one right here, he's the one got saved Friday night. Amen. You glad you're saved, son? Come here, Isaac. I'm gonna brag on Isaac for a little bit. All he's got. This one right here, come here. This one right here just probably a month or so ago surrendered to preach the gospel. I believe the Lord's multiplying. Somebody say amen. This one right here, he came on a friend day we had with one of his buddies. He'd been to several churches around the area. But he came and he said something different.
That's right.
That he ain't ever been in before. And he left on a Sunday, and on a Monday afternoon, he called his mama in there and said, Mama, I got to get saved. God won't leave me alone. How many of you glad God's still saving sinners? Amen? Amen. Thank y'all. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm done right here. In your desert time, know this. I don't care how many times you fail the Lord. He still wants you to get up and distribute the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. I wonder, I'm fixing to turn it over to you, preacher. But I have no idea where you're at today. But God does. And maybe God's led you into a desert place and time in your life right now. And you think there's no, how can there be any purpose in my life when it looks dry, when it looks like there's nothing there? But let me ask you this. Do you have Jesus? There's still purpose in your life. Not only that, but think about the fact that maybe You're just not depending on the Lord like you ought to. He may have put you into this place so that you can learn not who your preacher is, not who the guest preacher is, but who He is and the power of His might. Here's the last question. Will you keep going so others can be blessed? Will you keep going so others can be saved? You know, I have found out, Brother Robbie, I'm trying my very best to preach the gospel. Sunday morning, Sunday night, we're sharing the gospel all the time because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And here's what I'm finding out. People don't come because I preach the gospel. People come because the people that have been influenced by the gospel go out and bring them. Who will you bring? So I don't feel like it. Can I say this? It don't matter. He matters. And I sure am glad there's times that people share the gospel and preach to me when they didn't feel like it, so that my soul could be fed and my life be forever changed. And I could surrender to the gospel ministry and tell everybody about somebody who will save anybody and change anybody's life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you mind the Lord?
Hallelujah. Some of you have been struggling. Some of you is in a desert place. The devil's been attacking. You feel like you're being led to a place where you can't get no help. Amen. Altars are filling up. They still room. There's room in the aisles. There's room on the front. Christians are coming. Hallelujah. Maybe this morning, you was on that second point. Not only a lesson in duty, but a lesson in dependence. You've worked so hard to be independent. You worked so hard to do, to have. Right now, it feels like you can't, you might have accomplished gaining, but you can't keep it. Been dependent upon yourself, your job, your decisions. I wanted this morning, why not try Jesus? The Bible says they came to Him. Why don't you come to Him this morning? I wonder if there'd be somebody in here, people on the altar, people in their seats, heads are bowed, nobody's looking around, eyes are closed out of respect for others. But I wonder if you'd get honest with me this morning. Say, preacher, I don't have a relationship with Jesus like I ought to. Maybe you'd say it like this, preacher, there's never been a time in my life where I've been saved. And right now, preacher, if I was to die sitting in this chair that I'm sitting in or kneeling at this altar I'm at, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is not what this is for. I just want to learn. I just want to know how to end the service. So, preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I'm not saved. If that's you, I want you to look right up at me. Thank you. You can put your head down. Is there anybody else? Be honest with the preacher. Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Thank you. You can put your head down. Is there anybody else? There's been three that's looked up. You're not alone. I'm not embarrassing him. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to be honest. Make eye contact with me. Preach, I don't know. There was a time I sat on a pew and I didn't know. It's all right. I want to help you, but I got to know I need to help you. Preach, I'm not sure. I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I want you to look right up at me. If you're in the balcony, I want you to wave at me because I can't see your eyes from there. I'm sorry. If you're looking and I ain't acknowledge you, I want you to just raise your hand up so I can see. All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, there's been several that's looked up this morning. Several in need this morning of salvation, in need of you this morning. Lord, we ask right now, God, that you'd continue to move in our services. Lord, I pray that you'd give liberty right now. God, give strength. Lord, I pray that you'd give them the courage to, Lord, to step out from everywhere else and everybody else and come to you this morning. In Jesus' name. If you looked up at me, heads are still bowed and eyes closed. If you looked up at me, say, preacher, I'm not sure. I want you to do me a favor. I got people in this church who knows how to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. They let you read for yourself from the scripture what God says about salvation and how you too can be saved. If you'll let me do that, I want you to do me this favor. I told you I wouldn't embarrass you, and I'm not. I'm not coming to where you're at. I'm not pointing you out. I'm not sending anybody to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is your choice, your decision. But if you're ready to trust in Christ, I want you to stand up where you're at and come right here to where I am. I'm standing right down front. And let me get somebody to help you and to show you from God's word how you can be saved. Anybody like that, it'll come. I need a man. Sean. How about somebody else? There's two more that looked up at me. It's all right. Still not going to embarrass you. Nobody's looking around, and I'm asking you to come. I love you. May not even know you. I may not even know your name. But I don't have to. I don't love you because of who you are. I love you because of who he is. And because he loves you. And because he's died for me and done so much for me, the least I can do is love those that he loves. So this preacher loves you this morning, and I want to help you, but you got to let me. Once again, it's your choice. We won't tarry long. I'll give you a few minutes or a few seconds. But if you're ready to get this thing settled, lay your head down on a pillow at night and know where you'll spend eternity. This is your invitation to come. Won't you get up and come right here? Once again, Father, we come to you. Lord, thanking you. Lord, for church today. Lord, thank you for this weekend. All the hard work, the effort, the prayers, the love, the labor that went into it. Lord, we thank you for it. God, we thank you for the good message we heard this morning. Lord, may we understand that we have a duty. Lord, I know lots of times, Lord, we want to take vacation from that and want to leave. God, may we stay the course. God, I pray that we learn to be dependent upon you. Lord, in every one of us, Lord, there's this strong desire to be independent of everyone. But God, I pray that our independence doesn't leave to independence from you. God, we need you. This church needs you. I need you. The people of this church need you. God, I pray that we put all of our dependency upon you. God, I pray, Lord, that because of what you've done and how you fed us, Lord, how you've ministered to us and loved us, how you've provided for us, encouraged us, Lord, I pray that we do our job in taking what you've given to us and distributing it to others. Lord, that others may experience what we have. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you bless our church, continue to use it to reach our community, to reach those that we love, to reach those that we don't even know. Lord, those that, Lord, you've sent to Lake Park and those that you've sent to Lowndes County and North Florida. Lord, our surrounding areas, Lord, I pray that we do our part to love them, to reach them, to minister to them, to see them saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.